It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows, and I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with, and Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5, with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here with our man, Eddie Gonzalez, the ultimate NBA insider. Eddie, what's up, baby?
Hey, how dare you?
What you mean?
Man, you lucky I can't cuss on the radio, man. You ain't nothing. You ain't cool.
Okay.
I'm the one just hanging out with people. That's all I'm doing. I'm just hanging out.
Man, you the one. Hey, you ever
show up? Can they see your jacket? Can they see your jacket?
It's just, what you talking about? It's just a regular jacket. Hey, I'm trying to stay warm.
Eddie, you ever showed up at a place and said, hey, let me get the most expensive thing you have?
Why are you asking Eddie? I mean, maybe he has. I haven't.
Get that slip.
Not very typical of me. Nah,
that's what your boy does. Your boy shows up. Hey, what's true. I don't even care what it is. Make sure it's really expensive. Put it on the table.
That is not true. Don't listen.
Can he decide to ask for a wine that ain't there?
Yeah.
But they go get it.
That's it.
That is not true.
They bring the wine and he's like,
This is the 84, but do you have the 78?
Yeah, 78 was a better
do
year.
Do you have the 78?
It was aged in a different barrel. Can we get that?
Look, I'm also not above going to IHOP. You'll catch me at IHOP.
You're cool enough to do IHOP.
I'll go to IHOP, man. You know what I mean? I get the 2 for 2 for 2. What are we talking about? It's nothing.
All right. Hey, I ain't no wrong. French toast is good almost everywhere.
Talk about it.
I'll go to Sherry. I might go to Sherry's this weekend. What you know about Sherry?
Talking about home, man.
Come on.
I used to work at Lions.
Oh, word.
The one downtown?
Yes.
I know that.
And mind you, when I worked there, we was the only spot 24 hours.
Yeah, I know that. I know that got wild. One time I left Tunnell. And I went to Lions with the now wife, and we saw Eddie Winslow in there. So what's this guy doing out here, bro? What's he doing out here?
That's a wild.
What's this guy doing out here?
That's a wild sighting.
He had something with him. I know he did.
I know Eddie is doing a lot.
I don't want to get us in trouble, but if you know who his ex-wife is.
Come on, man.
You know how he's moving.
Come on, Eddie.
Speaking of.
I was gonna say, look, I ain't even gonna lie. I didn't look because I wanted. That could be a pocket watch because I need to know. How is that gonna hurt?
Who, Eddie Winslow?
No, how much is that gonna hurt? I don't know if we're talking about the same thing.
You said speaking of, no, who?
Yeah, we might need to do a pocket watching
for who?
Because I need to know how much this is gonna hurt.
Okay, for who? Who we doing pocket watching for?
Boy, am I.
Oh, that.
I need to know. You got it, like, you. It feels like you lost everything. You might have to go get a job.
That's not the.
Jesus. Yeah,
that's definitely not the ex I was thinking when we were talking about the clubs. Well, how many times you, Eddie might have more than you. How many times you run into Eddie Murphy's ex-wife?
Oh
my God.
Greenhaven, stand up.
She lived in them clubs.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Because you know she stands out.
Yeah.
Like you, when you see her, you go like, who is that? Who is that?
Yeah.
Then you realize who, then you, someone tells you who she is and you never forget and you see her everywhere.
Where was she at? She's at, here. Where was she at?
She was at Ricky's. She was at
Avalon. She was at Ricky's.
Bruh. She was everywhere.
Yeah, Nicole Murphy at Ricky's.
Everywhere.
That's crazy.
Everywhere.
Damn.
Yeah, she was outside, outside.
Good Harlow's lock in. Good.
Ooh. Well, yeah, it's going to be rough for your boy.
Damn. I don't know.
I might have to go to China. I'll hit the music. We'll see.
Hey. Hold on. Here we go.
See if we can get Eddie in on this. This is, it's going to be tough for your boy.
So explain the premise for Eddie.
Is Jesse in there? Oh, Jesse.
No, where are you going?
Oh, Jesse ain't even in there. Oh,
well,
man.
Well, look, we'll explain the premise for Eddie. Eddie, we got pocket watching where we take, in this case, Amon Shepherd, and we try to figure out how much money he made in his career.
Okay.
Okay. So what I'll give you is that Amon Shepherd is the former number 17 overall pick of the 2011 draft. Mm-hmm. Number 17 overall, 2011. Mm-hmm. Amon played 10 years in the NBA.
Damn, that's not a lot.
10 years in the NBA.
Have to work.
This is going to take a little bit of work. Give me a second. His peak earnings.
He got the LeBron stimulus.
He did. Mm-hmm. His peak career earnings. 2016, mm-hmm. $9.6 million.
That's not a lot for my man. He gonna
Amon Shumpert, 10 years in the league, former number 17 overall pick, peak earnings, $9.6 million.
Okay.
So I'm supposed to guess.
Yeah.
Hold on. So this... So he don't have no piece of paper.
That's okay. And Jesse's just gone.
Oh, you carry. You're doing the math.
I'm guessing here. This is my guess.
I'm right about that range. I was gonna say 65 in him.
All right. Eddie went 65. Casey went 63. Oh, if it was only that good for Amon Shumpert.
Oh. Oh no.
$48.2 million for Amon Shumpert.
Hey, I'm about to.
You are right. Amon might have to go get a job.
He was living a life.
He was.
New York City.
Keyword. He was living the life.
I'll tell you.
He got all the houses.
If you cut.
Let me be as kosher as I can be here. For what he's accused of in this divorce, that's an expensive lifestyle. So he ain't got all 48 of that left.
No.
Bruh, he never had four. I mean, you know, the rule is cut it in half. At minimum, you cut that number in half, you're down to 24.
Mm-hmm. He's on TV now. He's doing.
He's better be.
I feel like the cop in Menace to Society. You know you done effed up, right?
That was crazy. I'm not even going to get into the details of like why. I'm not trying to argue with nobody.
Yeah,
but that was a lot. I said, wow.
Yeah, that's a lot.
I seen a divorce the other day. I want to say it was a singer, but Buddy was trying to run it up on her. Oh, it was Journey, whatchamacallit? Journey Smollett. Her ex was like, oh, I need the bag. you had a lot of money.
Oh.
It's nasty.
The girl who was just at the awards? She was, and the dude was trying to run it up on her.
Oh, he found some money. Remember, she's a childhood actor.
Yeah, so she was on Full
he's
House.
Like, oh, no, you had all this. I need like another M a year.
Wow.
Wow.
Deanna made out like a bandit. Shout out to her. I guess.
Yeah, she was
cold game. It's It's a cold game. Sorry, Shump.
Yeah, Shump.
Sorry, Shump. Hey.
Hey, maybe you can work in the Kings front office.
Hey, maybe you can take Alvin's job.
I watched the game last night. I see why we're not talking about basketball.
We haven't talked about basketball. We've been on the air 2.5 hours. We ain't talking about basketball.
We said something in the first 10 minutes, and that's about it. That's all we need to say.
Okay.
Hey, this team sucks, bro. They like negative 60 in the last two games.
Mm.
What are we going to say with that?
Luckily for the Kings, the Mavericks are about done. Spurs are done.
What about the matchup tonight? But they're not quite done because they got two games left against Sacramento. I know you're going to be on playback tonight.
I'll be on playback tonight watching the game.
Yeah.
Final game of the season in Sac. Hey, man, let me know, man. I'm like a
Texas
dots, man, you know?
Yeah.
Here's the thing.
Well, look, you might be here for the play-in.
I was going to say, that game might be for something.
Or it might be for nothing, and we'll see you in like 3 days for the play-in.
Very true. Very true.
Neither one of these teams at this point. After what I've seen, what I continue to see, I don't know if y'all been on ESPN.com today.
Your thoughts. Your thoughts, because I saw you was on Twitter talking about. Yeah. Well, what was going on, man?
This feels like the soft launch of the KD trade. This is what it feels like. When you read this article, there's a lot of rationalizing what it's going to mean if we trade Kevin. How we go about trading Kevin, why we're willing to trade Kevin. And yeah, we're building around Book. That's basically the story I just read. And it's quoted straight from the owner, quoted from all the players at hand, except Kevin, some source reports. They dropped some instant information that I've talked about on this very show before, where just the teams that were involved, the teams that were interested, teams that made plays to try to get Kevin, the Knicks, the Rockets, the Heat, the Timberwolves. For all intents and purposes, it feels like the beginning and the soft launch of the KD trade that seems to be coming this summer. Everybody and their mom is saying he's getting traded this summer. And I don't know where. Everybody keep asking me. I don't know where. I don't think Buddy knows where. It's going to be up to the Suns and who has the best offer, it seems like.
Yeah, I didn't read the article, but I saw snippets of it. Matt Ishbia, you're talking that talk. In one respect, I don't want to say I admire it or I understand it, but what I got out of that, and he shouldn't be trading KD either, but it was like, we're not. I'm not here. I'm not in this to rebuild and, be terrible for 5 years or something like that. Like, I'm going to figure this out. Like, I'm going to keep spending. I'm going to figure this out. Now, some would say that's just not smart. And I would also say don't trade KD. But I personally would want my owner to be like, I'm gonna just keep spending until I figure this out. I always use the example. I don't want to be Charlotte or Utah. That doesn't seem fair for 5 years.
I respect that part of it. I said that on my stream earlier, and I not only do I respect that Matt feels that way, I believe him. He said, when I say teams would love to be in this situation, what I mean is they would love to have an owner who is willing to dole out the resources and willing to also take his hands off and let the team handle it and to give you all of the tools necessary to succeed. Now, has every move we made worked? No. But I'm committed to doing this, not only now, but long term. So I do respect that. I do respect the owner saying, we don't want to do a rebuild. We want to be great every year. We want to do whatever we can to do that. The question is just like you question the moves that they've taken to do that. You question if that's viable with their current cap situation and the current CBA, all of the signs are pointing to, no, it's not. But I respect an owner who's saying, we don't rebuild, we reload. Mm-hmm. Like, I respect that. Now, is the way to reload trading away what I would call a top five player in the league this year, Kevin Durant? Mm. I don't know. What do you get back? Do I get another top five player? do I get something like that? I don't know. So, we're talking about that all day, kind of wondering if you trade Kevin, does that open the door to then trade Devin Booker? Wouldn't that be the full play? Like, you trade them for other win now players. We talked about win now trades with the Kings this year. If you trade Devin Booker, you're trading him for win now guys for sure. You're not trading him for 8 picks and nobody. Mm-hmm. Same thing with Kevin. I need an actual good player back. you know, those are questions that I had to answer. They might still make the play-in. Yes, it's possible that they didn't push to the 8 seed and then you see the Thunder or whomever. A lot of basketball left to play, and what we see on the court isn't always as promising. Lost a couple tough games, won some okay games, but, you know, it's they're up against it right now. Yeah. And me as a fan, I go, what are we salvaging here? But the problem is they don't have their pick, so you have to play it out and try to do as best you can at this point.
I believe him because I remember you saying this. Matt Ishbia. And I remember Eddie saying this when he talked about we ain't trading Devin. Like, I believe maybe somebody will force his hand or give him an offer he can't refuse. But in that article, he was like, that's crazy to think about trading Devin. Like,
yeah,
I'm not trading. I believe him. I think if he has it his way, he'd never trade Devin Booker.
Yeah, I question why now with this article. Like, but one thing is clear in the article. He says, we're never trading Devin Booker. And Devin Booker says, yeah, I want to play forever. I don't want to go nowhere. I've been through it with this team. I don't mind going through it again. I think we can win. So, like, they're in lockstep there. And they seem to actually be in lockstep with the rest, too. And the rest is, yeah, we would love to trade Brad. We don't know if we can. But, yeah, we'll trade Kevin. Like, if we get the right deal, we'll trade Kevin. And that seems to be the takeaway from this.
But what's the right deal? Like, and I don't mean this disrespectfully, but at what point is KD a depreciating asset? Or maybe more specifically, a depreciated asset.
I think he is now. I think that's the problem. And
is he now in compared to NBA trades, or is he now compared to the last Kevin Durant trade, which was pretty
significant? Yeah, I think that's the right way to put it. I think even from...
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego sets play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time, they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego bricks.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Hi, my name is Lloyd Lockridge, and I'm the host of a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. In this podcast, I'm going to have people on to tell unusual and sometimes far-fetched stories about their families.
I've heard my whole life that she invented the margarita.
And then we're going to investigate those stories and find out how much of it is true.
He gets a patent 1 month before the Wright brothers. Oh, my God.
Please follow and listen to Family Lore, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
The deadline, like, remove all bias. I sit Got back you. And I'm an NBA fan on with the trade machine on my phone. I say, look, at the deadline, you could have had this great package. And you also, we're talking about the Rockets. Jalen Green was only making $12 million at the deadline. So you could add Jalen and additional pieces, Dylan Brooks, whomever else. Well, in the summer, in July 1st, Jalen Green will now be making $35 million. So now you've removed $20 million of takeaway from that deal. Also, Kevin has one less year in his contract now. And he can walk as a free agent the following season. So not only is he a year older, he's on a lame duck contract. If he's not committed to signing an extension, this is a rental. You pay way more to buy a car than you do to rent a car, even a used car. So it's like it is a depreciating asset in that sense already. This is not 3 years ago. You're not getting two starter level wings, five unprotected first round draft picks and additional pieces. No, you're getting $54 million worth of contracts, most likely,
And if you really push the line, maybe a first round pick, maybe a protected one, maybe a swap, maybe something like that. But by no means are you getting that haul. Right. The way you get that haul, look at trading Devin Booker.
Right. 100%. Now, the flip side to that, RIP, might be the flip side, is not, once again, no disrespect to Kevin, but who's giving up all that? I think for Kevin, with all the things that you talked about, expiring deal.
Daryl Morey.
Oh, man. Oh, man. But, like, I think their teams, I don't think there's, like, nobody, but
right.
It's probably, you count them on one hand, who would do all of that for Kevin Durant at this point in his career.
Yeah, I think the math is kind of simple. Just in you looking at, okay, who's a contender? Because you don't want to trade him to some middling franchise. You don't do that to an all-time great. You don't just send him to the middle of nowhere with no agency and no input from him. So you're looking at, all right, contenders, fridge contenders, whatever you want to call it. You're dealing with everybody's apron situation. And yeah, in the summer, you can work to get under it and this, that, and the third. You're dealing with who has picks. And it narrows the market. And the teams mentioned in this article are pretty straightforward and probably what you're going to see again this summer. The Knicks, the Heat, then the Heat, like, probably could have had them at the deadline. So that shows you their level of interest. The Wolves, but they have some contracts they'll be moving out. So their trade kind of changes too. I think the Texas teams will be mentioned a lot as well, all three of them. And we'll have some sneak teams in there. So there are deals, but, you know, we were talking about Gafford and P.J. Tucker and Klay Thompson. Like, is that this home run deal that you go, okay, that made us a way better team? Or you're talking, again, Jalen Green and Jabari Smith and a pick. Is that the home run deal that makes the Suns a contender next year? Now you have Devin Booker, Jalen Green, and Jabari Smith and Brad Beal, who in this scenario is still there. I don't know. I don't know that you're getting this home run trade out of Kevin. Just when you look at all of the things at hand here, you'll get something. Mm-hmm. But again, that then turns into the same conversation we started with. It's like, well, then why trade him?
Right.
And so whether Matt Ishbia loves it or not, and he doesn't apparently, that bottom out probably is the best scenario. And just run it back. You just run it back with the team you got who you don't like already because you – talked about trading everybody,
but it feels broken though. Like, and you tell me if I'm wrong. I do think there's a roster issue with Phoenix, but it also feels like, yo, you tried to undercut one of the greatest players of all time without telling him. Like, and I mean, this is a 36-year-old, 37-year-old. This isn't Luka, who's 26, and you're taking these gambles about his, you know, commitment and weight and could. You're talking about a certified all-time great. And I don't know how you come back from that.
Yeah, I mean, that's the relationship stuff at hand. And I thought it was interesting just as a spectator that Kevin said, yo, I'm not talking for this story. Thanks, though. Mm-hmm. It's even mentioned in there. He said, yo, it's already too noisy. I'm good. Kevin has been a consummate professional throughout all of this and kind of, you know, held the line for everybody and said, yo, I'm here. I don't care. It can be tough, but you got to deal with the struggle sometimes and all of that. Like he stood on the front line for the whole situation, but yeah, how's he not frustrated? And even in the Draymond show, he said, yeah, how do you not feel the way? And how do you not consider what's next? And how do you not do this, that, and the third? And as a team, you got to understand again, that's kind of why you do this sort of damage control. It's like, yeah, You explain your rationale. They didn't have to do this.
Right.
But your owner and another high-ranking source in the organization apparently is saying, yo, yeah, we had to look into this because we're not happy with what it is. And you're explaining your organizational philosophy, which you don't have to do. So is Kevin miffed? Sure, who wouldn't be? He said that on the record. Like, who wouldn't feel away? But he also understands this is a business, and it's like, if we got to do this, let's at least do it right. Right. You know, and I think that's what it's mentioned in this story. I think when it comes to a head, that's eventually what we'll see. And ideally they take care of him. I mean, ideally they stay and they make a better team around him. But if this is what they got to do, then, you know, who knows? But, you know, we've been talking about it on this show for some time. We know how it went down. This is the loudest admission of that we've seen. They literally denied it. on the record, like right after the deadline, and how here they are in this article saying, oh yeah, that stuff kind of happened, and you know, that sucks, but that's business, and now here we are. So yeah, I mean, I don't know that it's not irreparable, but I do think it's a point where you stay together for the kids, right, for so long, but at one point it's like,
F them kids. I'm unhappy.
But you kind of mentioned it though, like to a certain degree, I do feel like in this particular situation, the way KD going about it, if Matt and everybody came to him on June 29th, it was like, our bad, dog. Our bad. We was tripping. We got a little emotional. And our bad. Let's work this out. I feel like Kevin would be like, all right, let's work it out then. Like, I don't think he's like, get me the hell out of here because these dudes are snakes. Like, he's like, all right, let's work it out. He may not trust you no more, but he wouldn't be like, nah, there ain't nothing you can do to bring this back. But I that's just
I mean, he's essentially said that, right, in so many ways. Like, oh, yeah, that happened, but I'm still here. I'm still rocking. I'm still doing business. You know, I'm a pro. And it's mentioned in the story. There's a line that's like, the Suns are impressed by his professionalism in the wake of all this. And it's like, well, what did you expect? Yeah. You know, it's not Jimmy Butler. This is not I skipped the Christmas party guy. This is Kevin Durant. Like he, you know, let me die out there. This is that guy. But I mean, I don't know. Again, I don't know that it's irreparable. But you're talking about a guy on a lame duck contract, a guy who you just tried to trade, a guy who you can then try to trade again in February. So that's his perspective. But from the Suns' perspective, it's like, all right, well, if you don't commit to a long term contract, like, are you truly committed? And you can stand on the business of that as Kevin and say, I'm signed for another year. I'm going to play another year. I'm here. But there's so many variables in that, and there's so many ways you could just, you know, blindside each other in that sense. I've been watching Survivor, like binge watching Survivor, so forgive me. But the Suns can say all that and then try to trade him again behind his back again next February. Right. And that's a lot of risk for both of them. Yeah. So that's, again, why I think when they come and they have that sit down in July 29th or whatever it is, or June 29th, that's the conclusion they come to. It's like, maybe it's best to get out of here. Maybe it's best for me to be a Boston Celtic.
Who
knows, right?
I have never heard the sentence, I'm binge watching Survivor before.
No?
I'm their guy. You know me.
I never heard that before.
Oh, you know what? No, I don't know why my brain calculated lost. Survivor is that it? Yeah, I've never heard that either.
Look, man, I'm just, you know, I'm an oddball a little bit.
Yeah, I love
I watch The Challenge. I watch all that.
Yeah,
stuff.
I got it. Okay. I'm about 15 seasons behind on The Challenge. I used to watch that faithfully.
I love The Challenge. It's own world. Look, we watch wrestling.
The Challenge got a little too serious for me, though. That's one thing I don't like. It used to be they're hungover. Let's put them on some ice cubes.
A water balloon fight.
Yeah. Now it's like hang off of Mount Everest.
Yeah.
I'm like, what?
Yeah, I liked it better when it was just like drunk randos playing carnival games too. I'm the same way.
Eddie, we appreciate you. Play back tonight. Kings, Suns, we'll be tapping in, man.
I like that, man. What is that? Is that, that's mohair? Is that what that joint is?
Yeah.
That's rich. That's rich. Yeah. That's rich. Come on, man. Yeah. That's rich.
It wasn't cheap.
I know the morning when I see it.
It was on Union, man. I was like, hey, let me get one of these. Yes, sir. Eddie, we appreciate you, brother. Thank you as always.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego bricks.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.